Welcome to the Azure Podcast, a series of short discussions on various topics related to the Microsoft Cloud Platform. Your hosts, Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and Sujit Mello, discuss a specific topic on each show to give you a high-level overview of that topic and resources to get more information should you wish to dig further. For more information on our show, please see our website at azpodcast.com. Well, welcome back to the Azure Podcast. This is episode number 85, being recorded on the 15th of July, 2015, with special guest David Giard.
Hey, guys.
Hi, sorry.
I was just saying hi. I didn't mean to interrupt a great introduction. I just jumped in.
That's the way
we do things where I'm from.
That's the way it is. That's right. My name is Sujit Mello, and on Skype with me, I have Kale Teeter, Evan Basilik, and our special guest, David. Now, before I give David a chance to introduce himself properly, we normally like to talk about some updates that have happened in the Azure space this past week. And I know, Evan, you started by mentioning something about support for Linux that's in the works these days. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So we've talked about this before on the show, but Azure is not about just Microsoft stuff, right? There's a reason we changed it from Windows. I'm sorry, not just about Windows, right? Linux, bring your Linux stuff. We love it. But we've always kind of been a little bit, to be honest, a little bit standoffish when it comes to support, right? It was kind of along the lines of, hey, did your VM start? Yes. Okay. Well, we're kind of done here. Right. So what we've actually done, and this is publicly available today. We've got limited support for some of the major Linux distributions, as well as some open source technologies and some other third party things like WordPress and the like. But basically, we'll, help you install and configure these things. We've always kind of done networking at the virtual network level, but now we're also going to really help you with the networking and performance tuning in the guest level. So we're really going to kind of get deeper in this stuff. And on the programming side, right, we're going to be much, much better at supporting MySQL and PHP, Java, Python, right, all these kind of things that we see on a broad basis. So we're really going to do third-party and Linux stuff better than we've done it, right? So, again, bring your non-Microsoft workloads. We're here to help.
And I think we're still kind of shying away from Red Hat distributions, correct? What's the story there?
They're just not here yet. We'd love to have them. They're not here yet, and I'm sure that when we finally, when the powers that be all figure that out, there will be massive partying across the board.
That's great.
Invite me to that.
And then the other piece of news, actually, I got an email with it. I'm sure you guys all got emails on this today. Evan, I'm sure you're probably a little sad to read that they're finally about to discontinue the original SQL Azure services, the business and the web edition of SQL.
Yeah, I thought those were the oldies but goodies, but yeah, they're moving on to the newer stuff. So it had to happen at some point. So,
well, yeah, and then so we'll put a link in the show notes. But there's some if anyone out there is still using those, there are some deadlines by which you have to migrate to the newer versions, which the newer SKUs that are available. And also, if there's any upgrade scripts you need to run to change some of your databases, there's some information on that as well. Okay. Well, David, sorry.
Hey, Sujit, one other thing. Something we talked about a couple podcasts back, a tool that we have. It's the migration tool for the DocumentDB. I just wanted to call out that there was actually a blog post today by the product group on that tool being updated. So basically, there's just new ways to import data into it. So now, before we couldn't use native blob storage, but now we can actually have like JSON, CSV, or even some of the open source stuff like MongoDB, and we can read them directly from blob storage. So that tool's been enhanced. If people are interested in getting on board with DocumentDB, there's more support for it, and also some indexing policy stuff now. So basically, it can help build those indexes as you're importing your data into DocumentDB. Just wanted to call that out. We'll put it in the show notes too.
Excellent. Yeah, we haven't heard much from DocumentDB in a while since we had Ryan Crocore on the podcast. But glad they are moving along well there. Okay, so we have a special guest, David Girard, today. And David, would you please give a little bit of background about yourself? I know you're relatively new to Microsoft, I suppose, compared to us folks here.
But, you guys, yeah.
But go ahead and give us the a couple of minutes intro on where you came from and how you landed in Microsoft.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I was. I came from the consulting world and from the developer community. I spent about 15 or 20 years in consulting for the enterprise. And then, was it a year ago, October? This coming October will be 2 years. I joined Microsoft. I joined what's now called the Developer Experience team as a technical evangelist. And I joined it because I saw what the other evangelists in my area were doing, and I just thought, this seems amazing. This is like an amazing job. You work with smart people. You learn cool technology. You share it with the developer community. They're doing a lot of the stuff that I'm doing now for free. How do I get on that team? And eventually I did.
That's great. Yeah. And have you always kind of been involved a little bit with cloud technologies before joining Microsoft, or is that something that you started doing recently?
A little bit. Not always. As a consultant, you do what the customer requires.
Sure.
So I didn't have a specialty. I just I never really thought of myself as a technologist. I thought of myself as a solver of business problems. And usually those solutions were used some kind of technology, sometimes those cloud technologies, but not necessarily.
Okay. So now as a developer experience, is that what it is, or developer evangelist?
Yeah, DX, developer experience is the name of the department. It used to be DPE,
uh-huh.
And now we're DX, and my title is technical evangelist.
Got it.
Pretty cool, huh?
That sounds, that sounds like the kind of job that I'd want to have as well. It sounds like a nice role.
Well, we'll talk.
But I guess I'm trying to understand, like, so you, you go out and engage customers? How do you connect with customers? Connect with you? You know?
Yeah, I'm on what's called the audience team. So I deal a lot with students. I deal a lot with startups. I deal a lot with what we call the developer community. These are people that are going to user groups and code camps and various conferences. I do a lot of blogging, a lot of screencasting, and I have my own podcast. And so I just try to, you know, share the knowledge that I have with other people that are trying to build apps. I help people build applications either on Azure or on Windows or on mobile devices, anything they're trying to work with. I'm here to facilitate that. I'm a teacher, really. That's my perception. That's my self-perception.
So it looks like you cover various platforms besides Azure, also the on-premise platforms. I mean, just
yep.
Generally, where do you see things going? What's the trajectory like? Are people finally seeing the light and moving workloads to Azure, or is it still, you see a hesitation in some areas? Like, what do you see out there?
I don't see the hesitation that I saw a few years ago when I was a consultant. When I was a consultant, we would talk about cloud computing, and customers were very suspicious about giving up control. You know, what is this cloud thing? Is it as secure as that server under my secretary's desk? And there was a lot of confusion, a lot of kind of suspicion about that, or not just suspicion, uncertainty about that. I actually don't see that anymore. I think people are sold on the cloud. I think that people recognize that cloud computing is here to stay, that it's the right solution. The question I see more is, which cloud should they go to? There's a lot of information. There's a lot of competition out there. There's a lot of information coming from lots of different angles. And there's a lot of people that are using the word cloud just to mean a lot of different things. It's the new hot marketing buzzwords. So Everybody now says, we have a cloud solution. What does that even mean to a customer?
It means they want to charge you by the month.
yeah. So is GoDaddy a cloud solution? Yeah, maybe. They're certainly hosting things off-premises, but not in a highly scalable way that Azure is.
Yeah, I mean, so that raises an interesting question. Like, when someone, you know, you walk in and talk to some of these folks you talk to that you know, just kind of heard all the buzzwords in the marketing, like, how do you define this for them? How do you help them make that leap from, you know, clouds, this nebulous thing?
Yeah,
to something
I give them my definition of the cloud, which is that when you're taking some of your data or some of your application and moving it to some third party like Microsoft and having them host it in a highly scalable way, highly scalable, highly reliable way. I think for me, that's my definition of cloud compute. It's still a very broad definition, but it fits Azure and it fits a few of our competitors. And I think that's where we need to have at least a basis to start with. I always encourage people, when somebody says something like cloud computing, just nail them down. So exactly what do you mean by that? Describe the services you're offering. Are they virtual machines? Is it just web hosting? Is it platform as a service? Or is it, you know, hosted email? People will use cloud to describe all those things.
Does anybody actually have their email on premises these days?
Yeah, David, I was wondering when you're talking to some of these startups or like students even, are they even familiar with the terms? Like when you start talking about PaaS and IaaS, I imagine people understand what VMs are, right? Because that's a pretty comfortable concept. Virtualization has been around for a long time. But, you know, some of the other more enhanced platforms like the platform as a service, is it is that something that you see people kind of gravitating towards, or do they have a good handle for it, or are they, is it really foreign when you introduce it?
I see both. I see people that have a good handle on it, and I see people that that have no idea what I'm talking about. I think they understand cloud computing, and I think they understand that it's I think they understand that it's important. They understand that they're putting their data or their application somewhere else, but how they're doing it, a lot of people don't understand the nuances of that. For example, the difference between infrastructure as a service and platform as a service, and when you should go with which. That's an important question. I try to educate people on that.
So that's a good point you brought up, Cale. So these students that are coming out of college and universities and whatnot, are there courses in university that educate students in terms of cloud computing? Are they somewhat knowledgeable about it coming out, or is this something totally raw for them as they come out of college?
I think some schools they are. I happen to know that at Illinois Institute of Technology, which is here in Chicago, some of my colleagues are actually teaching there. So I've got a colleague, Martin Schrey, who has taught cloud computing at that school. The problem with something like cloud computing is it moves so fast, it's hard for anyone to keep up with it, much less a large entity like a major university. Universities, they try to move as fast as they can, but that's a lot of inertia behind them.
Yeah, by the time they write the course, it's probably changed.
That's one of the issues right there, exactly.
Okay.
They're trying, but it's just hard. We can talk about education here. My feeling about education is that education should teach you how to think about problems, how to be a problem solver, particularly technical education. It's not necessarily a training for a specific tool set. So I think it's okay if they don't understand, they're not using, you know, the preview portal in Azure or whatever, or if they're not using the latest and greatest tool sets in Visual Studio. But if they're learning the fundamentals of object-oriented programming, the fundamentals of functional program, the things like platform as a service, infrastructure as a service, that's probably more important than any particular tool set. It's going to serve them a lot longer in their career.
Right. That's quite right. But I mean, so how do you, like, I'm sure there's all these other, you said there's a lot of cloud vendors out there these days, right? There's the Googles and there's the AWS I don't know, IBM is in there as well nowadays, and that we have Azure. How do you convince these students or startups that, you know, hey, maybe take a look at Azure, that's the way to go? What's the play over there?
Oh yeah, you've hit on a big chunk of my job. So colleges, they're teaching a lot of Java. They're not teaching .NET. Startups are there. There's a culture of startups where they're using Amazon because their buddy is using Amazon, and it worked out for their buddies. So they're just using that. So this is a big challenge. We come in there, and I don't think people are anti-Microsoft, but I think people aren't considering Microsoft. So a lot of my messaging is take a look at the Azure offerings, and the startup community. BizSpark is a big selling point. You know, 3 years of free Azure. That turns a lot of heads. Same thing in the student offering. There's a DreamSpark offering, which is starting to get some Azure into it as well. Mm-hmm. So that helps a lot. The other thing is that one of the points of resistance I hear is, well, we don't really need Azure, or Azure isn't really for us because we're not a Microsoft shop. You know, we're a Linux shop, or we build iPhone apps, or we, you know, we're building WordPress apps, or we're working with PHP, MySQL, Python, all these other technologies that have nothing to do with Microsoft. And so they just assume that those technologies don't work on Azure, which is a false assumption. And so that's a lot of what I'm trying to educate people on. That Azure is not just a Microsoft thing. It's relevant for Linux folks. It's relevant for iPhone developers, Android developers, Python developers, PHP developers. There's a whole story around non-Microsoft technologies, open source technologies that are supported by Microsoft Azure.
That's really interesting to hear you say that, David, because, you know, we, and I alluded to this earlier on when we were talking about the open source announcement today, but, you know, I was really kind of excited when we changed it from Windows Azure to Microsoft Azure, and now you kind of opened me up to going, wow, darn, that still brings some baggage,
right.
At that point. Now, I don't know that you could just call it Azure. You got to call it something, right? Everybody likes their company name there. But, you know, it kind of makes you wonder, like, if we called it, you know, I don't know, you know, Sajid's Azure, right? Would it potentially get more uptake with these people that you're talking about than slapping the Microsoft in front of it? Like it sounds like we bring baggage just because of the big Microsoft stack that typically or historically has really been our only space.
Yeah, I mean, the name might be part of it, although I hesitate to ask anyone to rename any product because I work for a company that does a lot of things really, really well. But naming products is not one of them. We have great beta names for software.
Yes. Well, we had yeah, I was going to say, you know, we were, there was, I was in a, well, I guess, was it last week, Kale, you were talking about the, there's Chaos Monkey and then.
Oh, the Simian Army.
Yeah, Simian Army. We were talking about, like, you know, you just can't beat a name like Simian Army. That just,
well,
tells you something.
What the heck was wrong with Spartan? Well, that's a great name for a
Yeah, monkey. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, what's with the Edge stuff?
The Edge is fine. That's not as, we've done worse than that. but anyway, the Microsoft label, I think it might be a little bit confusing. It's up to people like me actually to get that message out and say, yeah, it's called Microsoft Azure, but it has huge support. You brought up the Linux machines. We have more support for Linux than we ever did before. And a lot of people don't even realize we have any support for Linux. That's a message we have to get out there, that they're not only are there virtual machines that you can install Linux on, but there's a whole gallery of virtual machines right in the portal that says, I'm going to start with an OpenSUSE machine or something that's running Oracle. And there's all these templates in there. And there's this VM Depot website where the community is actually creating virtual machines for use in Azure with the scripts to create them. You just copy and paste them into your CLI scripts, and you're ready to go. That's a message that we need to get out, I think. I know.
Now, David, like when you talk to these people, the startups and the students, you know, they got all these fancy ideas to build stuff. What is there like a theme to these ideas? Do you see like a lot of people focusing in a particular area? Like, is it IoT or is it gaming or is it social networking? What's the general theme for these?
Yes.
New
yeah.
Apps?
Yeah. I mean, Chicago has just a really good startup community here, and they're all over the map. There are energy companies, there are gaming companies, there are social media companies, there are marketing companies, a lot of marketing companies, and there's a lot of these startup incubators and startup accelerators are popping up all over the city. It's kind of I won't say that we're where Silicon Valley is, but we're catching on to what Silicon Valley discovered a few years ago, that we need to encourage these startups. And then I see other areas around the Midwest are doing the same thing. And as a result, people are just, they have an idea for an app or for a service, and they're willing to take a chance because there's a place there that they can go to get cheap office space, get support from folks like me and my colleagues, and even have access to some venture capitalists. I know I just moved from Detroit about a year ago, and Dan Gilbert, who owns Quicken Loans, has invested a lot in the startup community there. It's been really successful. And so other people in Detroit are investing in accelerators and incubators. So Detroit is probably a little bit behind Chicago, but it's getting there as well. And what they're building is all over the map. It's pretty exciting, really.
Okay. And you get how deep do you get involved with each of these startups? Do you help them with architectural stuff, or do you actually give them some sessions, like some training sessions, or like what's
I've
involved in
done, a couple of things. We actually have a startup evangelist that really focus on the startup community full time, and they're doing a great job, and they're doing a lot of that. They're getting the startups involved in some Microsoft programs to help them. The way I serve them is because I have other audiences that I serve. I do things like office hours, so I'll show up at some of these accelerators, and I'll be there on Friday afternoon from 1 to 5. Sign up for office hours, and people will come and ask me questions. I started doing this a few months ago, about a year ago. And I assumed that people would come and ask me questions about technology. And most of them don't. Most of them have questions about their startup. They say, I have this idea. What do you think? You know, am I doing it right? Or how do I hire a developer? Or, is there any way I can host this application that's highly scalable? I say, well, maybe. Yeah. I can't know a guy. But they're typically not technology questions. They're typically business questions, and that surprised me. But hey, I'll answer the questions. I'm starting to get really good at it. So I do that, and then we also have I'll go sessions on just showing what cloud computing is. So a lot of times I'll say, come on Tuesday afternoon, I'll buy you guys pizza. I'll show you a quick lap around Microsoft Azure, how to use it.
It sounds like when you're getting these these business questions that. You know, in some ways, is it that we've reduced the bar, not so low, because there's still some technology bar there to developing a solution or doing a phone app, but man, the bar is a lot lower than it used to be years ago.
Yeah, that is part of it. I think the other part is that a lot of people that come to me, they're not technologists. They're people with an idea, and they want somebody else to implement it. And so part of I have this idea, and how do I put the pieces together? And so sometimes it's a matter of just pointing them. I send a lot of people to user groups. I'm a big user group fan, and I say if you're trying to hire a developer, you won't find a more targeted audience than a user group. Go in there and buy them pizza, and they will love you. And just the nature of this business, 25% of them at any given time are probably considering new employment. It's just the nature.
I wondered about when you're incubating these up front, and Evan, maybe this is a little bit toward you too. When these guys are getting signed on to BizSpark,
you're trying to get me to get a new job? What is that?
Yeah, actually, yeah. No, but if these guys are coming in through these BizSpark programs and these things for getting these things bootstrapped, is there special support for that? I'm sure they have tons of questions when they first come in, and some of them they might think, well, this thing's broken or what? And do you see that, Evan, at all? Is there a special queue?
I'll be honest here, right? So we don't have a default offering for that. Although, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, $29 a month, right? The barrier for technical support is not high. Right. I mean, I know $29 is real money, but it's not big money, right? I'll be honest. The reality is, a lot of times I get calls from people like David and people like you, Kale, CSA, is going, yeah, I met this customer, and they're really big, they're really strategic, and I got them a support. How do I get them a support case? And then somebody ponies up a support case somewhere, and then we get to talk to them. But there are some. I'd love to figure out a way to do that. I mean, I'd love if we would include with some of the BizSpark and stuff, and maybe, David, this is something pitch up to your channels, but if we could include support in that stuff, because it is so important in this day and age when people get stuck for them to be able to get help.
Yeah, and I think with Azure, you get just pricing support. That's the
you get billing out of the box, and that's
billing
it today.
MSDN, don't you get a couple of support tickets with MSDN Ultimate? Is that included with the BizSpark offering? I should know this.
I'm actually not sure. I can't say that I've seen people come through in that fashion. So it may just be that I haven't seen them, but I'm not. I don't think so.
Okay. Offer some support for my customers, and I don't have the deep knowledge of every product. The product team or the field engineers do, but I try to get them at least started and I'm trying to build up a network of people that I can call. And now I have three more, actually.
Darn it. I knew I shouldn't have showed up today. But, yeah, I mean, Kale, I mean, that's kind of what happens, right, is, I mean, because I, and you know, I'll actually put this out to our podcast audience, right? I will answer any question anybody in the world emails me, right? The most I'm going to do is come back and say, hey, that's a hard question. Can I get you to open up a case? You know, just because I need to track that, right? I need to get credit for that work that we do. But, yeah, I mean, it's – I'd love to see us do something, you know, in that direction.
Right. Yeah, I will say, I hope you guys are doing this. If you do answer a question kind of for free like that, don't just answer to that one person. Put it, if you have a blog, put it there, or put it on Stack Overflow or something like that. Just make that scale. So the other, if somebody else has the same question. You're probably doing that already, but I'm saying it out loud.
Yeah, we normally use our Twitter handle to field those kind of questions.
Yeah, we've had some there. Yeah, there's actually the Azure, Microsoft Azure Support Teams, I think is our name, but MAST, it's the MAST blog. That's, we as a team kind of put stuff out there whenever we can.
Oh, so you, as a team, you have a blog, yeah.
Yeah, the support team has a blog, yeah.
I figured you had that, I'm just saying it.
No, but it's really, it's a really good point, right? I mean, nobody ever asks a unique question, right? I mean, it's always somebody else has asked it somewhere.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wonder because, like, you know, especially when you're first getting started, some of this stuff's foreign, right? And kind of the maybe even the naming that we might call something might be slightly different than Google or Amazon. And so being able to, I mean, obviously a lot of this stuff's on the web or, you know, GitHub or some of these different sources, but just trying to make that as easy as possible so these guys don't get frustrated and say, you know, I just don't understand this, you know.
Yeah. Well, even, I mean, I was before we started recording, I was talking about, I did a presentation earlier today on Azure Mobile App Services. I think that's the correct name for it. It used to be Mobile Services, and now it's merged with web apps, and logic apps, and API apps. Anyway, there's not a lot written on that. There just aren't a lot of blog posts. It's only been out for about a month. It was in preview for a few months, and it's just been released. And so searching for this was difficult.
So if you have problems in that area, it's tough to find any answers.
For the new stuff, and there's a lot of new stuff in Azure.
I don't know about you guys, but I mean, we publish content way faster than we used to, right? That's actually why you see a lot of the Azure content moved from MSDN or TechNet to the Azure.microsoft.com because all that stuff's on GitHub, right? We can kind of publish faster and have more contributions to it. But even then, right? I would say it's a very regular basis that I get asked a question for something that's released that someone, I had it today, somebody said, can I reserve? So these days you can do multiple VIPs per cloud service, right? And somebody said, hey, if I combine reserved VIPs with multiple VIPs for cloud service, can I reserve all the VIPs for my cloud service? We went and looked through the documentation and we say nothing about that scenario, right? Because you just can't keep up with all the permutations of mixing and matching these things.
Right.
So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that some of this stuff's hard to find answers to, right, if you're kind of using stuff that's new.
That's great. Well, this is good stuff, David. Thanks so much. I know you had a busy day today, and you're sitting in a Starbucks enjoying your drink, chatting with us, so we appreciate you spending your evening with us. Guys, is there any final questions for David?
No, this was great, David. Thanks for coming and talking about it, and keep fighting the good fight, right? I mean, love to see these other platforms come onto our Azure platform.
Oh, yeah. It's going well. I love the stuff that Microsoft is doing. I think people are starting to recognize that Microsoft is a really open platform, an open company, and there was, you know, what, 5 years ago, there was a lot of Microsoft haters out there, and I'm not saying that now. I really am not. I mean, I'm sure they're out there somewhere, but.
Yeah, this is great, David. We'll take, I think we have some stuff for the show notes here. Definitely, we got your blog and your podcast as well, so we'll go ahead and make sure we get those in there as well, Sajid, so that we can cross.
Can I plug my blog and my podcast? Is that all right?
Absolutely.
Here's my shameless plug. So my blog is at my name, David. Giard.com, DavidGiard.com. And I have a blog post on there called Microsoft Azure Without Microsoft. If you guys want to look at the show notes, that's some of the things I'm talking about. And then my show is called Technology and Friends. Right now it's at technologyandfriends.com. It'll probably remain there, but I'm in the process of moving it to Channel 9. So in the next few weeks, you should see that content moving over to a bigger audience that way. And that's been going on for, that show has been going on for 6.5 years, almost 7 years now. I've just published, I should go look, show number 300 and something or other. I've,
Wow. That's impressive, because we're, awesome. We're at 80-something and pretty amazing.
Oh, well, you didn't start 6.5 years ago.
You got us beat.
Yeah, so I'm trying to, my Starbucks internet connection isn't doing as well. 374 was this morning. Talked to Jennifer Marsman about Azure Machine Learning and Mind Reading. It's a pretty good show.
Cool.
That's heavy stuff. Great.
I might want to get her on your podcast. She's a pretty sharp lady.
All right.
Yeah, we'll do that. Reach out.
Well, David, thanks again, and hope to get you on another podcast. So maybe when you've had, you know, made some more progress in terms of getting startup students into the Azure space, and we can hear some interesting stories from you.
Anytime. This is fun.
Yeah, thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you have any comments or questions, please use our Twitter handle at Azure Podcasts. Background music has been taken from ccmixter.org under the Creative Commons license. Thank you, and see you next time.